Support comes from Catholic Charities of St. Paul in Minneapolis, dedicated to ending poverty for thousands experiencing homelessness in our community. You can help provide shelter and food with gifts matched through December 31st at cctwincities.org/donate.
The Lonesome Day Blues. Bob Dylan. Again, we're playing Dylan this hour. Throughout the hour, he's going to get that Nobel Prize tomorrow. TBD if he'll be there to accept it, but we'll play some music here today. Finally this hour, Putting Your X by The Y. There are, in the world of Minnesota politics, people who might not be well-known to the wider public, but they are in the political circles. They're operatives. They're behind-the-scenes people who lobby for this or that. Or the big thinkers who ponder the future of this or that. And why Spano is all of it, a longtime DFLer who lobbied for several causes over the years at the state capitol. He has focused his past decade plus on a grad school program that trains the next generation of leaders and advocates. But he's not a total unknown. You might recognize why as a frequent commentator on the public TV show Almanac over the years, guest columnist for the Star Tribune. And he co-founded and published the newsletter Politics in Minnesota. Why is moving into retirement gradually, as all octogenarians eventually consider the grad school program he runs has its graduation ceremony tomorrow. Governor Dayton will speak at the event. And then why starts a few months of transition into not running the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. And the governor will be heading right up then to, he's going to talk to us and head to see if Bob Dylan shows up.
In Hibbing, right? Yes, because he declared Bob Dylan Day tomorrow in the state of Minnesota. Your grad school program is so old that at the first graduation, Mark Dayton spoke. He was Senator Mark Dayton.
Senator Mark Dayton. It was, by the way, Tom, an astounding thing because it was in that period when he was having a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And his talk to our students was so compelling that they just became mesmerized by a guy saying essentially, hey, it ain't all roses.
Yeah.
And you guys better get ready for some tough times because politics is like that.
Remind us. What were you going to add? Yeah.
Now he's kind of hit a few bumpy spots in the road again, and I suspect his talk will be just as compelling.
And an interesting year during which to talk, for sure.
Right.
Born and raised in Minnesota? I can't remember.
Yes, I was.
How'd you get into politics?
Oh, just always interested. Grandma used to read me the newspapers when I was 4 and 5, and then I'd start reading them myself when I was 6 with her over breakfast before going to school. So,
you ran once for office.
Right. Put your X on Y. How could anybody resist that?
Well, it turns out they did. Why? They were very able to resist that.
I was very lucky that, and the state was very lucky because Alpha Smaby, who Jan Smaby was then the host of Almanac for years. Alpha was a wonderful progressive, and she won.
Yeah,
and
by just a few hundred votes, though it was close. And I was looking at the results back from 64. Was that where each district actually elected 2 people?
Right.
So you didn't finish second; you finished third.
I finished third, right? Yeah. And that's the only reason I had a chance. I was a Republican back then.
Ding, ding, ding! Why Spano the Republican in 1964?
Right. Right.
But you lost to Alpha, and that started her career. She became a very well-known anti-war activist. She only was in office a few years, but man, she was very well-known. So if you'd won, you probably would have ruined it all, don't you think?
That's right.
And then again, Almanac, it's just the circle of life, right? Because Jan was the host there. When did you were a Republican in 1964. When did you move over to the DFL side of things?
You know, I was in the Army for a while and before running for the legislature, actually. And my job was to keep track of all the kooks in the 5th Army area. I was in Army Intelligence. And to the army, that usually meant people from the left. So whenever Martin Luther King or any of those kind of people would come to town, I would have to report on that and be careful of them.
You kind of give reports. He was in town. He did this. He did that.
Every time Hubert Humphrey and Don Fraser went to an ADA meeting, which is not the American Dairy Association, but the Americans for Democratic Action, the FBI would send us a report about it. I mean, the Army kept track of way too much stuff back then. Anyway, I started reading some kooky right-wing books, and then I discovered those books showing up at my party conventions and stuff, and I thought, whoa, this group is going off the rails here.
So you're one of the people for whom the party left you? You didn't leave the party?
I think so.
Yeah. Put your X on Y, by the way, was your slogan in that, in that one campaign that you had. And then you decided you weren't going to run for office anymore. You wanted to be involved in politics. You went the way of the lobbyists. You went the way of the operative. Why did you make that decision?
Well, it just...
Because, if you lose one race, you get up and run again, right?
Yeah, I suppose. But it just interested me more to be on the other side and to think about it more.
Yeah.
Even then, there was a need for a candidate to be able to think very, very clearly and rapidly and say a lot of stuff fast. And I don't necessarily – I'm not very good at that. I like to sit down and think about things for a while before saying too much. And as a consequence, it just hurt to – So
you're not slick enough is what you're saying.
Right.
Why Spano is with me. The graduation for this master's program we're going to talk about is tomorrow. It'll be the last one he has as he starts a transition into retirement over a few years. If you want to say hi to Y, give us a call here, 1-800-242-2828. And then here, this was in 04 you started this. It actually started at UMD, University of Minnesota Duluth. It's now at Metro State, the Masters of Advocacy and Leadership. Why was that a program that this state needed?
I always thought that the study of public policy was too based on numbers and economic kind of stuff.
Too theoretical, even, or no?
No, it's just like. To me, the question is, and what we tell our students is, you come here and believe something. And we're not going to try to tell you what to believe, but you believe something. And we'll try to teach you how to get that thing done, whatever it is, whatever you think should be happening. And that is much different than I will study public policy so I can figure out what is right. Because a lot of people have different ideas of what is right. And the important part in the public sector, in the sphere, the important part is how do you get it done? How do you do anything with what you decide is going to be done? I'm not denigrating numbers and saying that they're not. It's just the politics part of it seems to me to be a really important part.
It sounds like you're going for more practicum, more just
we certainly do.
Come here with an idea and we'll spend the year doing it. That kind of a thing?
Right, right. They said 2 years, actually.
Right, that's right. It's a 2-year program.
Right.
That's right. And it's now at Metro State. And you've had what? How many graduating classes? About 10, 12?
This is number 20.
Number 20.
Yep.
Very good.
This is happening tomorrow.
What effect?
208 graduates.
Over the years.
In maybe 80 to 85% are in Minnesota, and maybe 80% are involved in what we think of as the advocacy business.
You could have just gotten along on your good looks and kept going on Almanac and kept writing for the Tribune, and then you did the politics in Minnesota thing, but you took this step to say, I'm going to found this and I'm sure running a program like this isn't without its headaches. So a later calling in life, that kind of a thing, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, and the sense that there's, you know, it's important work. And that, I must say, Tom, is what makes the current environment so profoundly sad, is it became, at least on the national level, at least with one candidate, not important work as much as it was a kind of an expression of personality and no sense of where it goes or why, other than I know what's right. And that was sad, I thought, to have that happen.
So what's the fix?
Well, there were a couple of reasons for it, I thought. One happened here in Minnesota. We lost Wellstone. And Wellstone was the kind of antidote that the Democratic Party had needed, that kind of person who made them, who stuck to the economic message largely and was friendly to everybody. You know, even his opponents loved him. He got along with Jesse Helms, which was considered
super conservative.
Nobody else did that.
You know? Nobody else got along.
No,
with Jesse Helms.
Really. And it was just, it was an astounding performance. And he was and kind of an anti-Clinton almost in the sense that he fought welfare reform. He fought. He voted against the war. He did all the things that we now say, oh, yeah, that would have been great.
Peggy Flanagan, a state rep, just tweeted, one of my favorite things about Y is how much he believes in and supports the ideas of young people. As you gradually step away, I know this is a few months of transition here. You just alluded to it, though. The DFL had a heck of a year here with this election, and that's not a good. It's not positive for someone like you. What's the future of the DFL in Minnesota?
I think it's finding the Wellstonian kind of focus again. Part of the great tradition of politics in Minnesota is that it's supposed to be the expression, the best expression of what we do. In our program, for example, the political scientists have a definition for politics: who gets what, when, where, and how. That's how you define political science. That's what it is. And we call politics is how we care for each other. This is how we do it as a society. Politics is the way we interact. And if you think about it that way, it's a whole different thing than sitting there with a microscope trying to figure out who's got the money and who's going to win the votes and all that kind of stuff. So we very much encourage our students to believe in something and to have a desire to go get it. And I think that'll come back. We're certainly getting more and more students now after the election.
Really?
More and more people are starting to wonder if maybe they should get involved.
Enroll
and maybe
in that
they
program.
Should believe in some stuff.
The program's called the Master of Advocacy and Leadership.
Advocacy and Political Leadership.
And Political Leadership out at Metro State here in St. Paul. Was at UMD for many years. Y. Spano, thank you for being here, and congrats to you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. And as we end the hour, we're playing Dylan songs this hour, so you get to pick the last song of the hour. Do you want to hear When the Ship Comes In or Honest With Me?
Honest With Me. That's what politicians really need all the time.
Oh, man.
Being honest
with
me.
Way to tie it in, buddy. Well done. Thank you so much. This is NPR News.